It's the Phantom Family Podcast.
Why, hello there, friends. Welcome to the Phantom Family Podcast. I am Tori Phantom, here with my husband, Jimothy.
I am Jimothy.
It's true, you are.
Most days, yes. Some days, I'm known as Frank.
When? Which days is that?
Really? Never. But do you remember our old house when we had a ghost and I used to say, calm down, Frankie, every time things would just randomly fall off the top of the fridge?
I do remember that. Have we named this house as ghost?
No, these are mice. These are definitely mice.
There's definitely
I've never seen ghost poop. I've seen mouse poop. This is a mouse.
Anyway, we have a mouse problem that we're dealing with. It's not a problem.
Jinx. All right, so welcome to the Jim Talk Show. I'm here to talk about the best flavored water, and it is the Walmart branded one, probably. Tori, care to weigh in?
Thank you. You're wrong. It's the Kroger brand. Thank you for unjinxing me. Also, yeah, it's not a problem because there's one, but it can turn into a problem if we don't. I tried to catch it the other day. There was chaos erupted in my house because I was cooking dinner. And as I'm cooking dinner, I see this little mouse run across my kitchen into the playroom. And I was like, I'm going to get it. I'm going to catch it because I catch them and I go release them somewhere else. And I get into the playroom and I have my eyes on this mouse because they move fast. Like, you can't even blink.
They're quick. They're quick as a mouse.
So quick as a mouse. And so I'm calling my nine-year-old and I'm like, I need you to turn the stove off because I got into the playroom and I realized I was going to burn dinner. And she's like, I don't know how to turn it off. I said, but you know how to read the word off, darling. So you can certainly twist the knob until it says off. But she gets nervous around the stove. So she's like, I don't know. And I said, no, it's okay. It's okay. You just have to twist it until it says off. And I'm just staring this little mouse in the eye. And so she's like, okay, I did it. She's like so proud of herself. She's like, why did I have to do that? I was like, come here. And then she's like, oh, it's so cute. And I was like, I know, it's so cute. And she goes, can we keep it? I said, I don't have a mouse cage.
Also, we don't have a choice because did you catch it?
No, I didn't. We almost caught it.
Then
because
technically
she went,
we are keeping it.
We are. She went and got me a bowl. We were going to catch it in a bowl. But it was small and it got away. So
it's a mouse, not a salad.
Yeah. It was not a salad mouse and I did not catch it in the bowl. But I will.
In a bowl?
Probably. I didn't have anything else to catch it in.
I think we had cardboard boxes in that room. We'd be getting packages quite frequently.
We'd be getting packages, but I didn't have a box, so I thought bowl.
And they start with a B, O, and they just don't catch mice. So I guess you weren't wrong.
I was trying. But we did have fun trying to catch a mouse.
That does certainly sound like an eventful week. My birthday was this week.
It was. Happy birthday.
My birthday's over now, but thank you for that. I did nothing. I went to work that day.
I made you dinner.
Yeah, but I'm saying I didn't do
anything. I got you a cake and a cheesecake.
Steak and a cheesecake. Yes.
And a cake.
I didn't eat the cake, though. I just ate cheesecake.
That's true.
But it was my birthday. I just didn't do anything. Sometimes people say they go out and they do stuff, like they'll do things. There's a pandemic, and also I'm not an introvert. I just don't wanna.
That is the best way to describe you ever, because you're certainly not an introvert. You literally just don't ever want to.
I just don't want to. Yeah. Don't wanna what? Yes.
Exactly.
That's the answer.
Precisely.
But I am glad that there are people that want to listen to us. We had a lot of great feedback this last week. That was really awesome. If you haven't made your way over to the Anchor site where we're hosted, there are a lot of cool features over there. Check that out. You can actually leave a voice message. So if you've got feedback or you need help or have a question about anything, that's all right there. There is a button where you can support us financially each month, which is really awesome. We do have one monthly supporter. Shout out to Elizabeth Levi's Jeans or Elizabeth Levis. Not really sure how you pronounce it.
Not sure at all, but thank you, Elizabeth.
Thank you so very much.
Thank you, bestie.
So check that out over at Anchor. Anchor is actually really cool, and I think we have something to say about Anchor.
Anyway, you know what else I've been doing this week, Jimothy?
What have you been doing?
Making TikToks.
Not surprising.
You're not surprised?
Not very, no.
I never am on TikTok. I don't know how.
Yeah, you don't make like four a day.
I only make like two. Anyway, so I made a TikTok the other day. Shocking. And I kind of got some really mixed reviews on it. And I kind of think it's a topic we should talk about, like if you're interested maybe on this podcast where we talk about things.
Oh, cool. Is it about Transformers, like the cars and or the electrical things that they put up on the light poles outside the house?
Like the movie?
No, not like those.
Oh, no, nothing like that. What I was talking about was I made this TikTok the other day. I was doing my thing. And I was saying how I don't punish the kids and that we like to go towards natural consequences and discipline over punishment. And what was interesting to me was the amount of backlash I got for that. And I'm fine. I'm fine with criticism. I'm fine with people disagreeing with me. I mean, constructive criticism. If you're just being a jerk, I'm just going to like look at Jim and be like, this person's a jerk.
Yeah. And I'm probably going to agree.
Yeah. Yeah. So like, if you're mean to us, like we're just going to call you a jerk on our own time.
But not to your face, because that would be rude.
That would be rude, you know. But that's the thing, is that disagreeing is fine, but being rude to people isn't. And so that's why we're not rude to people. We just call you a jerk. To each other. I don't know if that makes it better. Either way.
I take screenshots and share it in the group chat, too.
You have a group chat?
Oh, I have many group chats.
All right. Anyway. So, what was interesting to me was just the idea of the semantics behind these words. Because I think everybody views these words in a different way. And because it is the English language, they kind of all have different meanings based on how we say them or what we believe they mean.
Like bear and bear and bear? Or buffalo, 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 buffalo.
No, because those are all the same words that mean different things, but these are all different words that can mean the same thing.
Oh, and it's homonyms versus homophones. Got
it. Precisely. It's like you just did the third grade, too. Anyway, so my question for you, Jimothy.
Okay, I'm ready.
How would you define punishment versus discipline versus consequence?
Consequences are something that arrives because of your actions, whether those are good or bad. That's just, those are results. Consequences are results of one's actions. Punishment, I would say, is a negative thing. So something negatively applied to an individual as a consequence. I would say discipline is how you would go about giving the consequences, or discipline would be a structured way of giving the punishment, whether the punishment is, you know, how severe it is and all that. I would say that would be the disciplining.
See, I really like your response here, because I totally just put you on the spot and didn't tell you what we were going to be talking about this week or what I was going to ask you. So
that's fine. I don't need to know. I'm a walking dictionary or thesaurus, whichever one has the words.
But I would say that's probably one of the reasons that Jimothy and I kind of parent the same way, is because we have very similar ideas of what these different terms mean. And so for me, a consequence is going to be something that can like immediately and naturally happen as a result of something you did, much like you were saying. And discipline is when someone is kind of applying a consequence, right? Because like maybe your kiddo did something wrong and perhaps they wouldn't have faced a consequence had they not been caught, but we caught them doing it. We saw them doing it. We need to correct a behavior. So we are going to implement a consequence, and that would be discipline for me. Whereas punishment, I see that just in connotation as a sort of negative reinforcement, not even reinforcement. It's just like this negative, I want to stop a behavior right now, and I am more focused on how I feel about my kid's behavior than I'm focused on wanting to change my kid's behavior. And so that's certainly, there's a lot of room for discussion on how we all view those words differently. But I wanted to kind of start the show with how Jim and I feel about these different terms.
I'm a Virgo, not a Gemini. Thank you.
Oh my goodness. This guy. Anyway, I wanted to start the top of the show with our personal feelings about these terms, because if we were to have a discussion about what those terms mean without defining what they mean to us, and you feel differently about them, that's going to be kind of not able to understand. Confusing. That's the word for not able to understand. There's actually a word for that. Confusing.
That was a very good example of defining confusing.
Thank you. I try really hard.
struggle, I think, is the word, not
yeah,
try.
Yeah. Okay. I was struggling. That's fine. That's fine. Either way. So I did say in my video, I said that I don't punish my kids, because I don't. I don't want to ever make my kids feel bad. My kids might drive me up a wall sometimes, but I still don't want to make them cry. And when I think of the word punish, when I think of punishing kids, I think that I am now yelling and screaming at them to make them feel bad for doing bad. And that's not ever what I want to do. I want to see them doing bad. I don't want to see them doing bad.
You don't want to see them doing bad.
If I see them doing bad, I want to correct that behavior and guide them to making better decisions. Now, sometimes does that mean we need to have a consequence? Yeah. Does that mean it needs to be severe or harsh? No. Not at all. And that's working for us. But that's so for me, I don't want to punish my kids because I don't ever want them to feel bad. Like, and sometimes they are gonna feel bad, but I don't want to be responsible for that. I want to be responsible for building them up. How do you feel about punishment, Jimothy?
I think that if they eat all my French fries, I'm gonna tell them how I feel. But I'm not gonna like hit them or anything.
I'm just gonna be like, why did you couldn't have saved me one?
I came home today and I knew there were Oreos in the cabinet at lunchtime, but then I came home and there were none.
There was only two, and me and one of the kids got to them.
Yeah, well,
we hid in the playroom to eat them because we didn't want the other kids to feel bad.
That is smart.
Because out of sight, out of mind, like they didn't know they were missing out if they didn't see it happen.
Yeah, so you did bad, but I didn't punish anyone. I was just like, okay.
I didn't do bad. I bought the Oreos.
See, I faced my own consequences there by not eating them at lunch when I saw them.
You faced your own consequence by not buying your own Oreos.
Listen, you can't just say, well, you didn't do this. You can't just do that.
I literally just did, Jim.
That's a very bad discipline that you are living by right there.
Anyway.
I'm also confused.
That's fine. That's fine.
It's where I live.
So I typically, when I talk about the kids misbehaving and correcting behaviors, I err on the side of consequence. And what I mean by that is that I want reasonable, related, direct consequences to their action.
Oh, like when they run across the living room and they go to jump on the couch and they smack their knee on the edge of it or something. And what is my usual thing when I know that no one is hurt, but I see that they've flopped themselves into the floor by doing something silly that they could have prevented? What do I say?
Jimothy is such a dad because what he likes to say is, what'd you learn?
What'd you learn? And the answer is nothing because they get up and immediately repeat the action. So they have learned that I didn't get hurt that bad, so, oh well, I'm going to keep going.
But that's, so I will give an example is that my 5-year-old recently started drinking my bottled water, and she knows how to take the cap off, but she wasn't putting the cap back on.
Never does.
Never does. Well, she does now. But so this started like a few weeks ago. She started taking the cap off. And she'd take a sip and she would leave a near full bottle of water sitting in the middle of the floor without a cap on. And obviously we have 3 young kids and also Jim and I are not graceful humans.
Clumsy, I am.
Those bottles were getting dumped, right? And
every one of them.
So now logically you might think, okay, well, whoever dumped the water should have to clean it. However, I feel like a more suitable consequence here is, well, I'm putting the caps on my water. Jim doesn't drink bottled water, and my oldest daughter, she puts the caps on hers.
I drink bottled water, but I drink it at my bedside at night.
And you put the caps back on.
Yes.
Exactly. But so, like, I know I knew this because I can see my 5-year-old do this. I spend a lot of time with the child. And so if I see the water get spilled, I find my daughter and say, well, is this your water? And she say, yeah. I said, you didn't put the cap back on. I know. Okay, well, can you clean it up? All right. So is she happy that I have to clean it up? No, not necessarily. But does she also understand that she has to clean it up because she left the water in a place where it could be dumped? Yes, so she did. And I'll tell you, this went on for a few weeks. And after a couple weeks, we started having less accidents. And now that child doesn't put that cap down because she got sick of having to clean up her own mess.
Yep.
And I think it's important to note, too, because I did get a comment from someone where that was like, weeks? Because I mentioned this story in that video. They said, weeks of dumping water? Like, why didn't you do... Like, we weren't walking through a flood of water bottle water. Like, it was just like once every few days, you know? So to be clear, it wasn't a constant spill. It was just when it would happen. That's why it took a little bit longer for that consequence to make a big difference.
Yeah, it wasn't like we were filling up an indoor pool.
Right. So, you know, a spilled water every few days or so, and me saying, okay, well, if you hadn't left this open, it wouldn't be on the floor, so I need you to clean it up. That was this reasonable related consequence. Took her a few minutes. She didn't enjoy doing it, and she corrected her own behavior. And I think in a lot of ways, especially with just small frustrating behaviors with kids, that can work incredibly well.
I am also, I've gotten fairly, frustrated with the kids leaving drinks and food everywhere because we moved into this house and I didn't want this house to get, you know, very dirty because we have hardwood floors. So I didn't want it to be a lot of sweeping because, you know, in the old house, we had carpet so we could vacuum it pretty easily. This house is all hardwood floor, so I knew it would have to be a lot of...
And we can't, if the liquid falls onto the hardwood floor, it can warp it. So that's something that we're just we are very considerate of floors in this house.
It's not real hardwood. It's that laminate
so it's just, it's not great, but it looks pretty.
Oh, yeah. But if you do spill a lot of liquid on it, it'll just warp up the edges, and it just looks bad. And I wanted to make sure that that wasn't something that was happening in this house. So every time I see the kids with food in the living room, I say, where do we eat? And I ask them that. And then they kind of grin and they say, in the dining room. And then they go in there.
Yes. And I think it's really about consistency because I do a similar thing when it comes to cleaning up after ourselves at mealtime. Because especially with our 9-year-old, because for whatever reason, I feel like she's just such a busybody. She's more like I am. She gets distracted. But like our 5-year-old is like the MVP of cleaning up after herself at the dining room table, like better than you and I are.
Clears her plate every single time.
Like never misses it. But our 9-year-old, it's like a 50-50. And so what I do is I will call her in the dining room and I say, are you done with this? And she'll go, yeah. And I said, huh. I don't know how to know that because it's like sitting there. And then she laughs and she takes care of it. So it's like this consistent reminder. And the more we remind them, the better they do. And like, does it take a while? Yeah. But like our kids are kids they're our kids for us to care for and teach for at least 18 years. So like I have time.
At least 18 years. Some kids just don't leave.
And that's fine if that's the case.
Because then I'm going to get old and frail and someone's going to have to wait on me.
The way that I see it is that like 18 is when you're legally considered an adult, but I'm not rushing the kids out. You know, like I want them to feel safe staying with me until they're ready to go out on their own. You know,
I didn't move out of my house until I was 21.
I was 17. We are not the same.
No, there is a big difference between the environment that I came from and the environment that you came
absolutely
from, too.
I think both of our environments came from a lot of punishment. And I think that might be one of those things that defines how both of us see that, because we can both see this drastic difference between when we were punished and when we faced a consequence or were disciplined.
Yeah.
Punishment was so much more severe.
Yes, I would say that I was, as far as physically... You know, being struck, physical, corporal punishment. I feel like the last time that that would have happened, I might have been like 8. So it's been almost 30 years since someone struck me in a fit of
parental rage.
Yeah, parental rage, as it would go. But after that, I would lose things. So my punishments from then on would always be, I would get my Nintendo taken away. So I would get that taken away all the time. I got a BB gun for Christmas. I would get that taken away all the time. What's your question?
My question here is, you had all these things taken away. So yes. My question to you is, when these things were taken away from you, were they related to the thing you were getting in trouble for?
I mean, immediately, yes. Like, I would, as soon as I would be getting yelled at for something... it would be immediately, go put your PlayStation Nintendo on my bed.
What I mean is not related to, like, they're disciplining you and say they're taking it away. What I mean is that, okay, your N64 is getting taken away. Is it because you did something wrong with the N64 or because that's just, like, the thing to make you upset?
That was my, I don't know what you'd call it, my lovey. So that's what would be taken away. It had nothing to do with it. It wasn't like I stayed up too late playing, you know, Super Mario 64 or I didn't do something like that. Or I stomped on a turtle outside because I was playing Mario. It had nothing. The Nintendo 64 was...
What a weird thought you just put in my head.
Yes.
All right. The
Nintendo 64 was just collateral.
It was just a token that they used to...
Exactly. That was something I liked, so that was something I lost.
And see, and I understand how some parents can use that process. And like, I'm not judging anyone who does it. I always want to be clear about that when I make these. Like, I don't judge anybody for parenting any way that works for them, so long as you're not abusing your kids. Like, you know, we're all going to do different things because we're different people with different experiences. But for me personally, I want the consequence, the discipline to be related. And so have I taken away an iPad before? Yes, because that iPad was being used when I asked you not to do it, or that iPad was being used when you were supposed to be doing schoolwork. Because like, yeah, a lot of things for the kids, I do give them kind of this personal time management, personal responsibility.
Kind of free range sometimes.
Yeah, and because I can tell my 9-year-old, hey, I need you to clean up the playroom at some point today. And she can say, okay. And I know like eventually she's going to get to it. And so that's not a problem. But one of the things in our house is I very much high prioritize education. So if my kids are supposed to be doing schoolwork, like if she's supposed to be doing schoolwork and she knows she has the schoolwork, but instead decides to say, oh no, my schoolwork's done, so she can get on the iPad. And then because I am going to check her work, I do every day just to make sure she didn't miss anything. Like, we're doing virtual school, so like I have to make sure she didn't miss anything.
Make
we're
sure
working
that
together.
It, like even accidentally missing something,
that's,
like
that's
she
more what
it.
I mean. Like, yeah. I trust that she thinks she did it all, but sometimes like if that's the thing I've just noticed with our 9-year-old is that if she feels really frustrated or overwhelmed by something, and this is a behavior that we have since fixed, but it was really in the beginning of virtual school, so like a year and a half ago.
Yeah, back when it was brand new.
Right, back when it was brand new. If she didn't understand an assignment, she would just not do it and lie about it. And so that kind of took this process over a month where I was kind of frustrated because I felt like, why is she lying to me? So I was like, oh, I'm going to take the iPad because you're lying to me about the assignment. Now you're on the iPad. And what it come to find out, like, she just didn't understand it. And that was her coping mechanism, was avoidance. And so we had to come up with a new plan to make sure her stuff got done without her avoiding it or lying about it. And then, you know, the consequence that discipline didn't have to happen. Now, I didn't take her iPad often, but like once or twice while I was, because I'm a person and I was overwhelmed and frustrated and I didn't know how to handle it. So I was like, well, I'm going to take the problem away. We're going to take the iPad for a day. But honestly, it took more parenting and more thought process on my end to actually get to that root of that problem. And so I think that's kind of one of those things where it's easy to look at and say like, okay, well, your kid lied about doing their homework and now they're playing video games, so let's take everything away. Let's punish them. Let's discipline, whatever. And that's the easiest thing to do. And like, I see how that's the easiest because that was kind of how my thought process, my parenting process started on that. But then I took that time, that extra time to talk to her and look at this and figure this out with her. And it occurred to me, like, she's not lying to lie or be bad or like maliciously hide her homework from me. She just doesn't understand and doesn't know how to ask for help or is afraid to ask for help or whatever. And so once I was able to like see her and her struggle, we were able to solve the problem and I don't ever really have to take her iPad anymore.
At least not for those reasons.
I just talked for a really long time.
Yeah, that's a normal Tori thing. It's pretty
honestly,
standard.
But honestly, I really don't ever need to take the iPad because we just do a lot of screen breaks. The only time I'm taking the iPad is if I'm like, dude, I forgot to tell you to get off your iPad. It is a Friday night, and I know I told you you could have game night, but now it's midnight, so...
Yeah. So what are you doing up at midnight? You should have been asleep.
I'm up at midnight every night.
Is it because you're looking at your phone?
Yes.
Yes, you need your own screen breaks, bro.
I take them when I make the kids take them. I'm not a hypocrite.
I
never take a screen
break.
I'm
not here, so I can't verify that.
That's my clean time. The kids get on the screen break. We're going to play some games. We're going to have a dance party, and I'm going to do the dishes. It's screen break.
See, when I do the dishes, which I did do this morning, I like
so
to put on
you.
Podcasts on the Google Home. And I'll listen to something.
Listen to music.
That's what I do.
I bet you can't guess what I like to listen to.
The exact same thing you've been listening to for at least the last 6 years, probably more than that.
I mean, I was going to say 3 months, but okay.
You probably still pepper in with all the other stuff too.
Yeah, that's true. Anyway.
That's the only cycle that you don't break is the things that you listen to. You know, the punishment and all
that
growing up.
It's not that I don't break it. I just keep adding things to it. So I'm still listening to the same things I always like, but I also find new things I like.
I don't
you
like
know
things.
What I mean, Jelly
I don't. Bean? I just don't like music enough to do that. That's just me.
Says
I'm
the
very,
musician.
Very picky. I like writing my own music. How often do you hear me playing other people's songs, though?
I think we got way off topic.
No, we're still on topic because one of the things that used to get taken away from me in my formative years was my guitar. I would get in trouble. I would get, you know, whatever the case was. I see, I had this really whiny cousin growing up. I was raised by my aunt, and she had a daughter who was 7 years younger than me, and she was the absolute babiest angel of them all. And she was a whiny crybaby about everything. So she would tell on me because I wouldn't let her in my room, and then I would get in trouble and I would get something taken away from me. A lot of times that would be my guitar, that would be my Nintendo 64, my PlayStation 2, all of that stuff. But she cried and whined so much that eventually just nobody believed her, to the point where she was the girl that cried wolf, and she actually fell off of her bike in the driveway and broke her arm. She fell flat on the side, broke her whatever the top part of your bone underneath your bicep is, whatever that bone is. Radius, ulna, what is the bone? Help me out here.
I think it's a radius.
Or are those the radius and ulna? No, those are the two forearm bones.
Isn't that what you're talking about?
No, the underneath your bicep. This, the bone.
Oh, the bigger bone.
Yeah, the big bone up there.
I don't know.
She broke that straight in the middle because she fell off her bike, and she just always whined and cried so much that nobody took her seriously. So she had a broken arm for about 2 days before getting taken to the hospital because no one believed her because she just whined all the time.
And so, that is just, like, bizarre to me, too, because I think it's, like, interesting to hear about, like, every kind of family's dysfunction. Because, like, in my head, like, with my head, the way I consider kids, I'm like, well, why was she so whiny? Like, what was going on? What did she need? Like,
attention, mostly.
Probably. But can we just talk about, though, can we talk about the need for attention? And when people say that little kids, like, they're just attention-seeking, whatever, like, they need attention. That is a need. They are attention seeking. Like, if they need attention, they're going to let you know that. And if you give them the attention, the behavior is probably going to get better. And, like, attention seeking, you know, to a point is normal behavior. It's when it's excessive, when it's out of control, that we're like, well, what is going on? There's probably a deeper problem. But that's, for me, I had everything taken away. Like, punishments for me, they were physical, they were verbal, emotional. It was anything you could think of.
Oh, I got yelled at a lot. I just stopped getting hit after I was 8.
I didn't stop getting hit till I moved out. And, I mean, honestly, sometimes I'm like, I think my mom would still hit me if she'd get away with it. But
she guaranteed.
Anyway, so for me, the way that I grew up, it was so extreme and aggressive and constant, like, toxic chaos. Things were always taken away, but it wasn't even just taking things away. It was like these mind games because my parents thought it was funny. So they would like take your CD player, but leave all your CDs, take the Xbox, but leave all the cables, the controller and games. So they would leave the things to make sure you're thinking about how you don't get to have it. And so it was constant punishment. And the other part of the punishments for my parents was not only were we going to be punished, but there was no end in sight. There was no timeline on that punishment. It was just, well, this is indefinite. It's until I feel like saying it's better. And oftentimes, I mean, because I think especially now as parents, we understand why they would forget about it because like you're busy parents, but they would punish you and just forget they did it, not know why, and then never unpunish you. Like, what?
Yeah, I got that too. Like my PlayStation would be taken away and it would be gone for like a week. And then I would eventually ask, you know, when can I get this back?
Yeah. And so that's for me. I want it to be relatable. And as I was saying, you know, like with the school thing, like I feel like I handled that well because as I was trying to figure out what's going on with her, like, yeah, we're going to take a step back from the iPad to figure out what's going on with school. And so it's got to be relatable, like with the water. Okay, you're leaving the water open. They're getting dumped. You're going to clean up the water. And reasonable, which to me means that there is a distinct timeline on how this discipline, this consequence is going to work. So the consequence is what this action is because of what your action was. And the discipline is me saying, well, this is what we have to do. And they're not going to be ridiculous timelines. Like taking things away from a kid for a month, like you're literally like, why? What are you accomplishing? Because they're not learning anything. They're just mad now.
Yeah, it's just I'm bitter and resentful now.
Right. And I think that's the line we have to walk when we're talking about discipline and consequences with our kid is, are we trying to teach them a lesson or are we trying to hurt their feelings?
Exactly.
Because we can easily, because we do have a lot of power as parents. We have so much power. But like I think your parents and my parents together, like they abused that power because parenting was different then. And although yours weren't like abusive, there was still an abuse of power in a lot of ways. And that's with my parents. I see this abuse of power. And so like we are the authority in our kids' lives and we are in control. However, like, I want to give up a little of that control. I want to share that control with them because I want to teach them. I want them to learn how to be independent. I want them to learn how to do the right thing. I want them to learn to want to do the right thing and what the right thing is and why it's the right thing and why we need to make good choices and why some choices aren't the right choices. So there's like, there are so many levels here, and there's like this they have to learn to regulate emotions. There's so much that's happening in their childhood, just in learning and becoming people and learning how to be people. It's like, I don't want to take all that control away. I don't want to abuse that power. I want to say, let's be reasonable. Like, let's be reasonable here. I fully and wholeheartedly believe that kids are capable of, like, thought, honestly, thought and understanding. And if we doubt that in them, they're not going to try as hard. And they're going to be resentful or upset. And I don't want my kids to be upset. I want them to learn.
Exactly. And you know, here's one thing. Tell me if your parents ever did this. I feel like they wouldn't have. I feel like your parents, you have something happen, and in the moment, you're immediately punished. You're immediately struck, whatever.
Anger. Immediate anger, yes.
Yeah, immediately. Because there were times that I would get in trouble, and I would be told, like, you go wait in your room. I'm going to be in there 5 minutes. I'm going to whoop your whatever, you know. And it was like I'd be in there just really sad. And then, you know, 5 minutes would go by. And then I'd be like, okay, well, I'm over it now. Nothing's going to happen. And then they come in and I get grabbed up and then I get spanked, like, immediately then. And it's like, Did you forget? Like, what is, if,
like,
obviously,
what were you doing, bro?
If it took you that long to come in here to do this, like, it's really not that big a deal. And plus, I feel like if you took that time, you should be able to calm down and not be, oh, wait, I got to go
but
hit
this
kid.
I will tell you, that is how my dad was, because my dad will still justify abuse, because I don't care. Spanking is still abuse. If you're hitting your child, it's abuse. You wouldn't hit your spouse. You wouldn't hit your partner. You wouldn't hit a stranger on the street. Why would you hit a
child? You wouldn't download a car.
Well, like, why would you hit a small child who counts on you to take care of them? It's abuse. I don't care what kind of word you want to use for it. Anyway, my dad has still to this day justified the way that he would hit us by saying, well, I always made sure to calm down so I wasn't mad when I was hitting you so that I wouldn't go over the edge. And it's like,
if you're not mad, then why are you hitting?
What the heck are you doing, bro? Like, you can't use your words. You want me to use my words, but you can't use your words? Like, no, it's not. No, that ain't it. And so I think it's really interesting that you bring up this idea of your guardian at the time saying, hey, like, you need to go to your room and I need to take a minute to think about what I want to do with you, and how, like, horrible and negative that was. But for me, I actually use that same thing, but in a more positive way, because I've had moments with the kids where I feel so overwhelmed and stressed with something that has happened. I mean, you don't remember the moment it happened, but you remember me calling you, because I know, like, you and I have different reactionary ways, and you're more likely to be upset at something, where I'm just really good at just being like, it is what it is. And years ago, our kids were fighting over a water bottle, and for whatever reason, the water bottle flipped. It went and it smashed our TV. It was a nice TV and it smashed it.
Freak accident, my first 4K TV ever. Children destroyed it.
Yeah, it was a freak accident, though. Like, it literally, you know, they weren't purposely trying to break this TV. It was an accident. But I was upset, and I knew Jim was going to be upset. And so I watched this happen. I saw that TV break. And instead of sending my kids to their room to tell them, you go in there while I figure out how to deal with you, what I did is I said, I need a minute, guys. I need a minute. And I went and I gathered myself and I calmed myself down and I figured out how I wanted to deal with that and cope with that. Because the thing is I think a lot of times, especially when we're talking about valuables breaking and stuff, we are going to be more upset if our kids accidentally break something that has a higher monetary value, because we understand monetary value. Small kids don't. And so if we are reacting inconsistently when they break things, that's going to be really confusing. And eventually they will understand, but they're not understanding it, especially when they're really little. And so when I say, I need a minute to figure out what I want to do, I'm not saying I don't want to do something to hurt you. I don't want to upset you because this was a mistake. This was an accident. It's like, I need to gather my own feelings. I need to gather myself so that I can come and actually adequately handle this situation in a way that isn't going to damage you, but also conveys to you the gravity of the situation and why this is a big deal to me and why we need to be more careful, more aware, and do better. And so that's just kind of how I handle discipline, is that like sometimes it's quite easy for me to react and have this immediate natural consequence. And maybe it's going to be a thing of discipline where I have to direct that consequence, like, hey, you did this bad thing and now you need to do this. But it's always going to be related and reasonable. And if I find myself too incredibly upset, I am going to go and take a few minutes, calm myself down, because I firmly believe, like, as a parent, if I just like lose my mind and start screaming at my kids, that I've just thrown the kind of temper tantrum I don't want to see them do when they're upset.
Exactly.
and that's the thing. Like, I think that's a thing every adult needs to level with and see in themselves, is that we all throw temper tantrums. It does not matter what age you are. We are all throwing temper tantrums sometimes. That is the human experience. Our feelings get bigger than our brains can handle sometimes. And it's okay. But we have to be patient with ourselves when we throw temper tantrums, and we need to hold ourselves accountable and apologize just the same way we expect our kids to. We don't want them to do it, so we can't do it. And they're going to do it, and we're going to do it. And it's just about accepting that and understanding each other. Like, I mean, that's how I see it in our home. But That's for me. I don't want to make my kids feel bad for doing bad. I want to empower them to do better. So that's what I'm trying to do. You know, I don't want to punish my kids.
That's what you're up here on the soapbox for.
I'm on my soapbox saying I'm not going to punish my kids because I love them too much to do so. I just want them to learn.
Did they actually used to put soap in boxes? Is that how they sold them? Was that like the old style milk crate challenge?
Oh my goodness.
What is that?
Should we do the milk crate challenge?
If you want me to die, you've kept me safe from COVID this long and you want me to die on a milk crate?
I just want to, I feel like I could climb some milk crates.
I don't. You're clumsy as heck.
I am clumsy as heck.
You are clumsy as heck. You will pinch a finger. You will lose a toe. You will go down like a sack of flour.
Or a sack of potatoes. I like potatoes and flour. We should make some gnocchi.
What?
Flour and potatoes. Gnocchi.
Yeah, I know what gnocchi is. And I know how to make it, and they make it like really cool. And you roll it with the little fork, and you go fwong.
What is the sound that gnocchi makes?
Oh, it's authentic if it goes fwong
that
with the fork and the roll and the
seems
yolk.
Legit.
It is legit. You know what else is legit?
What is legit, Jimothy?
Us.
We're so legit.
Well,
so legit that you can probably find us places that aren't just in your earballs.
That's true. You can look at some of the couple of posts we've made on Twitter. At Phantom Family. That's it. Twitter.com/Phantom Family, @Phantom Family on there. We are on Anchor, like I've said. You can go to Anchor, do some really cool stuff there, links to everything.
And as we said, we're not going to make we're making a Patreon.
We're not going to tell you about the Patreon that is forthcoming.
We're not going to tell you about the Patreon. And otherwise, I mean, you can find me. I'm Tori Phantom on TikTok, Tori.Phantom Instagram, Tori Phantom Twitter, Tori Phantom Facebook. Like, I have a link tree. If you just go to one of those places, you click the link tree, you're going to find it all. Jimothy is a lot of places. He's Jim Beard on TikTok. And we want to hang out with you. We want to talk with you. We want to connect with you. And we want to hear from you.
Actually, we definitely want to physically hear from you. If you go on the Anchor site, you can leave us a voice message on there.
We get really excited about those. So
yes, we've gotten a couple on there so far. If you want to ask for advice, you want to give topics, something like that, you can actually drop that right in there. If it's something usable, we can even play it in the show because Anchor has really cool tools like that.
Heck yes. I think it's time to put this thing to bed.
Yeah,
Jim.
I absolutely believe we should put this thing to bed. I've got some water. I know you want cookies. I know you do.
I already read you a story.
I want cookies too, but
I will read
it's
you
too late.
One more story.
All right.
How about instead of some juice,
come
do you want
now.
Some water?
We should have water.
Because you just brushed your teeth. The juice isn't going to taste good.
Water is healthy. Come on, buddy.
Make
right.
a hug.
All right. Love you. All right.
I love you.
Okay.
Love you so much.
All right. I love you. I love you. Good night.